broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. You say, Sam, why are you starting out Christmas Eve Day with such a racial song? I mean, what is going on with you? Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. This is the broadcast for Tuesday, December the 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is indeed Christmas Eve Day. We are live for 2 hours of hard-hitting talk radio. Merry Christmas to you from us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're a Liberty Roundtable Live team, and we haven't lost our marbles. We're not really going racist on you. We're trying to make a valuable point, folks. What is that point, you might ask? Well, our buddy Lloyd Marcus is a black man, and he says we don't need different Santas for every race. He wrote an article on this, and it's a brilliant article, I might add, as well. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias, and greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, let's take a read of Lloyd Marcus. He's spot on this one, Kurt, and I think it's an important point to make.
Very good, Sir Lloyd Marcus. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, he's a, well, you know, we present him on this radio network, right, Sam?
We cover some of his articles. He doesn't do a show, but we cover some of his articles from time to time, yes.
And the headline reads, "We don't need different Santas for every race. My wife Mary and I were Christmas shopping on a Tuesday rather than a weekend, and still the traffic was crazy. Stores were packed and checkout lines were long. President Trump has our economy booming.
Whoa. Now you see this black man's a Trump supporter already, don't you, Kurt?
Please, that's a problem, yes.
Yes, sir.
Economic growth has reached 3.1% for the first time in over a decade. Unemployment is 3.7%, the lowest rate in nearly 50 years. In October, U.S. job openings increased to 7.3 million. Black unemployment has hit a new historic low. Upon entering Home Goods store, I was greeted with a full-size statue of a black Santa Claus. As a black person, I realized the black Santa was meant to make me feel good. Instead, I felt annoyed. My mom, dad, four younger siblings, and I were fine with thinking of Santa as a kindly old white man who loved all the children of the world regardless of race.
Now think Santa about that, a white man who loved all the children of every race all around the world. Think about that kind of an idea from a black man's point of view, Kurt. Pretty insightful, yeah. I think.
He says, Santa is a wonderful role model for bridging racial divides and promoting brotherhood. Santa being white never made my black family feel deprived or excluded. We did not need a Santa that looked like us. Social justice warriors are pushing the absurd narrative that people can only be represented or given a fair shake by people who look like them. SJWs, or I guess that's social justice warriors, demand that extreme feminist screenwriters be hired to properly represent women in movies. They demand that Asians be hired to represent Asians, and so on. A black screenwriter complained that political correctness in Hollywood has limited his career. He is only hired for black movies. He argues that he's talented enough to write for any movie. SJWs are relentless in their mission to corrupt everything everyday people hold dear. They have even infected public schools with the children's book titled Santa's Husband, in which a black Santa Claus has a white husband. Unbelievable. Hollywood SJWs are obsessed with gender swapping. Beloved white male characters in movies and TV shows are being gender swapped to be played by women. A new TV series will feature a female in the lead role as Zorro. SJW scored a twofer with the new James Bond movie, swapping Bond's race and gender. A black woman is the new 007. In your face, you misogynist, climate change denying homophobic and privileged white guy. All this identity politics, race, and gender swapping is supposedly about empowering women and minorities. That is a lie. It is really about SJW's hatred for straight white men and their desire to punish, demonize, and cancel them. I'm not exaggerating when I say SJWs believe the world would be a better place, a better, safer place without Christian heterosexual white men. Folks, this SJW narrative is extremely dangerous, sick, and evil. We the people are fed up with SJW's bullying demands that we surrender to their insane views and obsession with meaningless surface appearances. I have noticed a trend towards more people telling SJWs, no, back off, mind your own business, and leave us alone. Recent movies Terminator, Dark Fate, Charlie's Angels, and Black Christmas have bombed at the box office, rejected because of their SJW virtue signaling. In a TV commercial, a girl is told that she can be Santa. Wrong. Her desire to give gifts is admirable, but she cannot be Santa. Santa Claus is a man, an elderly, loving white man. Get over it. Merry Christmas, folks. Happy birthday, Jesus. Signed by Lloyd Marcus, the unhyphenated American.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And I really think that sets the tone for Christmas. There's nothing wrong that Santa is a white, older, kind gentleman that wants to bring all races and peoples together and wants to represent Christ. Santa represents Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, who is not a racist. Okay? And we, as white men on this broadcast, are not racist. Okay? The reason you got mixed up on Lloyd Marcus on this network, Kurt, because he's an author. And we publish his articles from time to time. But we have Jesse Lee Peterson, who's a talk show host on this network, Liberty News Radio. We also have C.L. Bryant, who's another black gentleman who's on this radio network. We have women on this network, Chris Ann Hall and Beth Ann Schoenberg and Kate Daly. We have, you know, several women on the network as well. And you know what? We don't fall for this racist male-female swapping, you know, garbage that Lloyd Marcus doesn't fall for. We're white, he's black, but we stand shoulder to shoulder as unhyphenated Americans to say, you know what? We can celebrate Christmas. We can be happy about Christmas. We can bring in all points of view, but we don't have to fall for lies or dishonest points of view. We don't have to attack one group to promote another. We don't have to do those things. Anyway, Merry Christmas. I think Lloyd Marcus is spot on, ladies and gentlemen. All right, really quickly, on yesterday's broadcast, we had Scott Bradley with us, freedomsrisingsun.com, and the Dr. Scott Bradley and Kurt Crosby and Sam Bushman broke down this battle in the news about philanthropy groups and charitable organizations and religious organizations. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints had a first presidency, that's the leadership of the church, statement on their finances in response to media stories. And we talked about how the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints used their tithes and donations. And it is admirable, to say the least. Anyway, we wrapped up that. We talked about it for over an hour, if you're interested. LibertyRoundtable.com, the archives are there. But we finished up with our thoughts and financial perspective from Scott, Kurt, and Sam. And it's important to understand, in my opinion, in that discussion, we really talked about, you know, what they're, if we're not careful, what they're trying to do is have the government be the only person that can do philanthropy work, that can only do humanitarian work and everything else. And the IRS has been abusing people all the way from the small guy like Sam and Kurt. We've both been abused by the IRS, all the way up to the president of the United States. Donald Trump is being abused by the IRS, and everybody in between, conservatives more than liberals, don't, you know. Steve Stockman's in prison over trying to hold liberals accountable for their abuse of the IRS. In fact, Barack Hussein Obama joked about using the IRS to attack people. But the IRS has done this for decades. Everybody knows it. It's a criminal organization. And the sad part is we just let it continue. Well, now, if we're not very careful, they're going to be used as a wedge to attack religious organizations. And if we take the gloves off and deny churches and charitable organizations their tax-exempt status, what it really means is their work will be, in effect, stymied at the least and or shut down. Our prayers are that doesn't happen. We wrapped up the second hour by talking about Democrats and Donald Trump celebrate this, quote, new trade deal. Shame on the Donald. The USMCA is nothing but disaster for American sovereignty. Check out the incredible column, What's Wrong with the USMCA, thenewamerican.com with the details. New trade deal threatens American sovereignty.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there? And that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Yes, indeed. Merry Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, and hallelujah for the churches across the world and the nonprofit and charitable organizations that do such a phenomenal job. Don't let the IRS put those folks under attack and or jeopardize their tax-exempt status, or we will have a sad day in America, to say the least. All right, Kurt wants to talk about a miracle. Kurt?
Well, this, ladies and gentlemen, is a story called The Miracle of the Pink Christmas Tree. It's written by a lady named Sunny Mahi. And it says, well, you hate to dismiss any of it. It says, I have a pink Christmas tree. 3 short years ago, I would have thought it was gaudy and ridiculous. But today it represents to me the best things about Christmas. Miracles, love for one another, and most of all, the Savior. The story of my pink tree begins with my 3-year-old daughter named Elsie. My Elsie was innocently naughty in all the best ways. She brought home fistfuls of my neighbor's flowers. She constantly snuck into my craft room to dump glitter on her head. And one time she set a neighbor's chickens free. She was packed to the brim with life and laughter. On November 22, 2016, Elsie became entangled in a cord from our window blinds. When I found her, I screamed her name, quickly took her down, and started CPR. She smelled like chocolate that she must have snuck from the pantry. I sent my son to get help. My neighbor came and administered a priesthood blessing. I remember feeling relief when Elsie took that first ragged breath and her heart began to beat again under my chest compressions. The paramedics swept in and took over the life-saving efforts, and Elsie was flown in a helicopter to the hospital. For a week at the hospital, she alternately showed signs of progress followed by decline. But behold, I will show unto you a God of miracles. There were many miracles surrounding her accident. When I sent my son to get help, my neighbor just happened to be running a little late for work. He just happened to already have consecrated oil in his pocket to quickly administer a priesthood blessing. The paramedics were stationed about 15 minutes away, but they just happened to be on break at a store only 3 minutes from my home, and I was somehow able to perfectly administer CPR. I'd never done CPR before, but I started Elsie's heart. When we got to the hospital, Elsie was responding to light and pain, which was good, but she was also experiencing rhythmic, uncontrollable twitches that are common in anoxic brain injuries. She was fevering and her heart rate was unnaturally high. On top of all that, Elsie was breathing over the ventilator, meaning that for every breath that the vent would give, she would take another on her own, panting like a dog. But then her siblings came to visit. They talked to her quietly. They painted her nails and painted theirs to match. When it came time to leave, they sang to her, "Families can be together forever." As they sang, her heart rate returned to a normal pace. Her temperature came down. Her breathing slowed and her twitches stopped and never came back. Another miracle. Because of these miracles, I felt we had every reason to hope for an even bigger miracle, a full recovery to show forth the Lord's power to heal. But when Elsie's scans came back, they showed very little brain activity, and even that was beginning to decline. We fled to the temple to seek clarity and peace. In the temple, we received the strong impression that Elsie would not live. I was devastated and felt like such a failure. Why was I able to save her only to have her die? Where was my miracle? Elsie became the missing miracle, the life-saving miracle we had pleaded for, would not be for Elsie, but instead from Elsie to others through the miracle of organ donation. She would give to those whose missions here were not yet finished, and she would leave this earth as a life-saving hero. Our pain would become another's joy. A different kind of miracle was happening at our house during the week we spent in the hospital. I wondered how I could ever feel safe in my home again. How could I come back to the scene of the worst moment of my life? My wonderful neighbors knew that they could not fix our broken hearts, so they came to my home to fix as many other broken things as they could find. And they didn't have to look too far to find them. The first round of neighbors vacuumed floors, washed dishes, tidied up toys, and cleaned bathrooms. As more people learned of the service being done, the miracle grew. Furniture was replaced, walls were painted, new decor and lamps were donated, and sinks and appliances were tuned up or fixed. My friends, neighbors, and even strangers went to work transforming my home until it was bursting at the seams with Christ-like love and service. When we drove home from the hospital for the final time, we found the streets of our neighborhood lined with hundreds of candles lighting our path. It was bitterly cold, yet dozens of neighbors stood outside to sing comforting hymns to us. Many trees were strung with pink lights or tied with pink ribbons, Elsie's favorite color. No one asked me what I needed. I wouldn't have known what to ask for, and I never would have asked for all that I received. But each person came and offered whatever they could to bless our family and ease our burden. They were beacons of light during our darkest hours, the Lord's hands here on earth. One of the things I remember most about that long week is the overwhelming peace that we felt. As we fasted and prayed for peace, it was liberally given. We came to understand what is meant by the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Because of Jesus Christ, we are able to feel peace even in sorrow. Above all else, my family has more reason now to feel gratitude that Jesus was born. Everything really will be okay in the end because he was born. His birth overcame Elsie's death. Because of our Savior, we will see Elsie again, and we will be an eternal family. We long for the Savior's return with more eagerness. We live with more hope in our hearts, and we remember with more reverence that he gave his life that we might live again. He is the light and life of the world. In my neighborhood at Christmas time, many yards will have one tree adorned in pink lights. He used to make me feel so happy that Elsie was remembered and honored, but I see now that the real reason for the pink trees is that Elsie helped others remember Christ, serve as Christ served, and love as he loved. She helps us remember that because he came, we will see our loved ones again. Because those pink trees remind me of him, they have become the classiest decoration I could possibly have in my home. If you happen to see a pink tree this year, I hope it will remind you of the Savior and maybe of a way that you, too, can light the world this Christmas.
The miracle of the pink Christmas tree, Sonny Mayha with the peace. Kurt, where'd that story come from?
The Church of Jesus Christ. .org.
All right, yeah, you can check that out, ladies and gentlemen, if you want. There's other good stories and more there. And I know, you know, Curtin has some explaining to do because a little bit of the story is great, but he's kind of speaking a foreign language without an explanation, Kurt. There's a lot of terms there used that folks don't know at all what you're talking about. For example, eternal families. So from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we believe that people can be sealed together forever in eternal families. That's a unique doctrine to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that I think most people kind of are like, what? What does that mean? And when you mention temples, they're sacred buildings where people go to have those special sacred ordinances performed. Husbands and wives get sealed together forever. We don't believe marriages until death do you part. We believe marriage is an eternal principle. So husbands and wives and children can be sealed together with sacred ordinances and live together forever. And the operating authority from Jesus Christ delegated to man to accomplish such tasks is called the priesthood. And so when Kurt speaks of priesthood blessings, he's talking about men who have authority given to them by God to give a special blessing, oftentimes of healing or relief or comfort. And they use consecrated sacred oil. And they put a drop of oil on the head that's anointed and consecrated, and then men give a special priesthood blessing on behalf of the Savior Jesus Christ as his servants. They're called priesthood blessings. More in seconds. Sam and Kurt on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
On the highways and in the skies, Americans will get few problems from the weather on this busy travel day. The Christmas Eve forecast for rain in some areas, including the southeast coast and the west coast. Another system will make its way through the Four Corners region, bringing some rain and some mountain snow. Things got off to a rough start early yesterday, though, for those flying in and out of Florida's Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport, which was closed for hours due to heavy rains and flooding. These folks were inconvenienced.
Our Uber picked us up and he said the airport was closed. Hearing that was really confusing.
A House Judiciary Committee lawyer says the U.S. House could add more charges against President Trump if new evidence is uncovered. A federal court filing argues testimony from former White House counsel Don McGahn could reveal presidential misconduct beyond the Ukraine scandal. And this is USA Radio News.
Why spend more than you have to on your life insurance? Hi, I'm John David Wells from the Wells Report. Did you know that life insurance rates have fallen 60% over the past 25 years? Even if you already own life insurance, you should check out the folks at AccuQuote. Since 1986, they've helped millions of people save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. Want some examples? Here's this one. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 worth of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. 20 or 30 year terms, even permanent plans are also available. And if you're on medications or have health problems, the experts at AccuQuote will still work with you to find an affordable policy. Nobody does it better than AccuQuote. Call 877-437-5912 right now. That's 877-437-5912. 877-437-5912. Life insurance. AccuQuote. Call them today.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
As the year draws to a close, there is no sign of any movement when it comes to restarting talks with North Korea on denuclearization. Meanwhile, as USA Radio's Robin Walensky tells us, the Pentagon's keeping a close eye on the North during the Christmas holiday.
The regime's rhetoric increasing, saying it has a Christmas gift for the U.S. This warning putting military leaders in the United States and South Korea on high alert.
Some suspect the North may launch a long-range ballistic missile, which would be the first time it's done that in about 2 years. President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, taking new shots at billionaire philanthropist and liberal cause donor George Soros. In a New York Magazine interview published yesterday, Giuliani says he, as in Giuliani, is more of a Jew than Soros is. Giuliani is Roman Catholic. Soros survived the Holocaust as a Hungarian teenager of Jewish descent. This is USA Radio News.
A pair of hobble boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Bonnie and Ben. Dolls that will talk and will go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
All right, the miracle of the pink Christmas tree, Sonny Mahe with the piece. It's available at churchofjesuschrist.org if you want to check it out and spread the word. Merry Christmas to all of you. So there's just a few terms that are worthy of making sure people are aware of in that story, because if you're not familiar with Church of Jesus Christ doctrine, then you may not be familiar with some of the terms. But priesthood is the power to act or serve in the name of God, and that priesthood is used for blessings. They anoint with oil and then provide a blessing. It's a pure olive oil. And that anointing with oil is a blessing from the servants of God, if you will. And then temples are used as special buildings to perform sacred ordinances to seal families together forever. And so a lot of cool doctrine is in that story as well. And Kurt, I you know, people who aren't familiar with it, I just wanted to make sure they kind of understood a little bit about what we're talking about. When you hear those words and you're not familiar with some of them, you're like, what? What the heck is a priesthood blessing? What is a temple? What do you mean together forever? And these kind of things. But they're important terms to clarify. And a wonderful story, the miracle of the pink Christmas tree, Sonny Mahe. And I'll never think the same about a pink Christmas tree, will you, Kurt?
Good point.
Pretty cool.
By the way, one of the other things that kind of brings this story home for me, at least.
Got to get you excited on your mic, though.
I suppose it probably does for you as well, Sam, is, with our own children, occasionally you have maybe not a life or death situation, but maybe pretty close. And, you know, so then, you know, this kind of reminds you of that. And I know it did for me. And yeah, I suppose a lot of people have had those times when we certainly wouldn't choose that.
Tough times, you mean, in life?
To go through those really hard times, either when you're losing a loved one or else you're seeing them, you know,
suffer, to
deal with something really tough. And yet it seems to me like there's some, I guess you could say, a wake that goes from that out that blesses so many people, blesses you individually and in your effort to get closer to your God and do those things that are more important. And then to, well, it seems like in this story here, so many other people were blessed because of their service and their efforts. And I'm sure they hugged and held their little ones closer. You know, there's just so much good. You know, you think back at the 9/11 thing, and at least in my opinion, it's a tragedy with the nefarious activities and the bad guys or whatever. And yet, the good folks, I remember, you know, you could pretty much say God bless America to anybody. And yeah, I even saw cities with signs up that said God bless America. Yet a little while later, I'm sure they took them down simply because, hey, it's politically incorrect.
Yeah, nowadays they'll take your head off of that kind of a statement, buddy.
Yeah, you know, good point.
Sad but true. By the way, everybody's doing the best they can for Christmas, and everybody's kind of in a different stage and a different situation, and I appreciate Kurt's point to remember things for Christmas. I want to tell you an interesting email that I got from our buddy Adam Kokesh, Kurt. He calls it Christmas Suicide Vigil Live Stream. Now listen to this. He says, Christmas is a time for cheer. It's great to gather around with family and friends and celebrate the things that we each hold most dear to us. Unfortunately, Kurt, not everyone has a family to celebrate with, and there are dozens, thousands who have been forcibly separated from loved ones via the family courts and criminal justice systems. So we have put our heads together, and we've decided to be there for anybody who is lonely on Christmas. My team and I will be taking turns going live from his, that's Adam Kokesh's Facebook profile, from noon to midnight on Christmas, so 12 hours, in other words. Calling it a suicide vigil might be a little dramatic, he says. But contrary to popular belief, suicide actually goes down slightly in December. But we do want to let anybody feeling lonely during Christmas Day know that you have a family out there. You don't even have to be lonely. My team wants to spend time with you for Christmas. Please share this event so that everybody can know about it and they don't have to spend Christmas alone. Merry Christmas, Adam Kokesh. And I was kind of impressed by that, Kurt. I just think, you know what? Good for Adam. And a lot of times we're live on many holidays for that same reason, Kurt. I won't be live on Christmas. I have other obligations and stuff like that. But I do identify with Adam's point a lot of times. We are on the radio for some of these special days. Sometimes we're traveling and can't be or whatever else. But we really, really try to do something as well. You know, a lot of people will take off the whole week of Christmas or whatever. We don't do that. We try to be around as much as we can as well. Anyway, I just think it was kind of a cool little thought there. And a Christmas suicide vigil live stream is maybe a little bit of a dramatic statement, but his point, Kurt, I believe is spot on. And the reason that I say that is this. You can play the same role as, say, an Adam Kokesh, and you can try to invite people over for Christmas or make sure that you drop by someone's house and spread a little love, give a little bit of cheer, do something positive for someone as well. I think he's onto something, Kurt, with this idea to reach out and care for those around. And, you know, I know his name's a little bit extreme, but he's making a very serious point that, you know what, it is a time of sadness and struggle for many. And we, in my opinion, can be the Lord's angels you know, and we can serve and we can minister and we can do a lot of good. And Adam's caught the spirit, I think, Kurt.
Well, I gotta say I agree, Sam. Yeah.
Pretty cool, huh? Stuff. We gotta get Kurt excited, though, man, for Christmas. He's sure down in the dumps, man. We gotta get him excited and fired up. Come on now. I gotta play a rocking Christmas tune to get Kurt all fired up, don't I? I'll work on that, ladies and gentlemen. I'll work on a rocking Christmas tune. In the meantime, I'm gonna tell you what I did on Sunday. Just because I think it relates to this Christmas season, Kurt, and it kind of lets people know a little bit behind the scenes who we are and what we do as families and stuff like that. So I thought that memory would be good, and then maybe Kurt can pop out a memory or two. We got a lot of unsettling news to cover today as well, but we'll weave it into the Christmas spirit the best we can. How's that? So on Sunday, I slept in a little bit. It's the only day that I don't do radio, so I actually sleep in on Sundays a little bit. An hour or two of extra sleep is always a wonderful welcome blessing and a half. And then I got ready and I went to church. And at church, I was able to take what we call the sacrament, bread to symbolize the body of Christ and water to symbolize the blood of Christ, and renew my covenants as a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ to keep his commandments. And we did that, a very sacred ordinance. We do that every Sunday. And then I was able to hear alternating speakers testify and speak of Christ and Christmas, along with some singers. My wife is in the choir, and so they had some beautiful choir numbers. And I spent an hour of it, just a delightful time at what we call sacrament meeting or at our congregational service. And it was delightful. It was just incredible. And then I came home and took a nap for a little bit and then woke up and had a family dinner celebrating my son's birthday. He turned 21 years old, and so we celebrated that, and it was just a wonderful meal and wonderful family. And then we opened some presents for him and stuff like that. And then we went to an Advent. Now, I don't know how many of you know what an Advent is, but basically the Germans and others do this, where each Sunday, the four Sundays before Christmas, they light a candle, and then two candles, and then three candles, and the light grows, symbolizing Christ is the light of the world. And it's a tremendous event. And the Germans do several different things, and we've kind of adapted it a little bit to America and to our own personal needs. But some friends of ours who are our neighbors have this every year. And they invite, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 families, depending on, I mean, they get their house as full as they can get it. So it just depends on how many people are in each family. But they, I'm telling you, they put 50 people in their house or whatever. And what we all do is we turn off all the lights, and they light one candle, two candles, depending on which week you're on. And then we go around the room and everybody names a Christmas song to sing. And it's not like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer Christmas stuff. It isn't that. It isn't, you know, Santa's a black guy or anything. It's Christmas songs and hymns and spiritual music. And we all sing together and we harmonize and we go around the room and everybody gets to pick a song. And the song I chose for it is called Love One Another. And because I believe Christmas is love. And anyway, we just had a tremendous time at this Advent singing Christmas songs together. And it's one of my favorite things to do for Christmas. I mean, it is just the spirit of Christ is there. There's goodwill and people are just humbled and in awe of the, if you sing reverently together and the harmony, it's just a beautiful experience. So anyway, that was one of my favorite things this last Sunday that I thought I'd tell you about. We've got more in seconds. Kurt Cosby's with me on your radio. But I'll tell you what happened when I got home, okay?
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word fight to 444-999. That's fight, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? in churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
All right, maybe that'll get Kirk Crosby fired up for Christmas. Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas.
All right, there you have it. So, ladies and gentlemen, I was coming home from this incredible Advent that I was able to take part in. We've been doing it for many, many years. I think it's been over 15 years now we've done this. And it's just, I'm telling you, it is one of my highlights. It is incredible. The spirit of Christ, the feeling, the reverence. So I started coming home, and I get this text from my buddy Kirk Crosby, man. And Kirk Crosby dropped off his famous Christmas cheese ball. And you eat that dude with crackers, with some wassail and stuff. I mean, you just feel like Christmas is coming alive. So that was exciting, and that all happened just this last Sunday to us. All right, Kurt, you want to tell about one of your favorite times for Christmas?
You know, that's it's quite tricky to figure out. I mean, now I've had quite a few, so I'll just tell you about yesterday, maybe, you know, just because maybe I can sort of remember that. Anyway, Sheriff Mack showed up at the honey table where I was selling honey, and you know, he some of the Make America Great Again caps. He got three of those, and he got some honey sticks. He was accompanied by his daughter there, and I guess they're celebrating, of course, the Christmas season. It was nice to see him. I remember thinking, shoot, I should have told him about this or that, or let him taste some of the marshmallow dream honey. You know how you do after somebody goes. You know, sometimes you remember different things you should have done or whatever. It was nice to see him. And then, you know, there's a number of good well-wishers. At least I didn't get accosted yesterday by any out-of-control liberal feminist
women. Yeah, people a little more gentle at Christmas time. Even the ones that don't believe in Christ are a little more Christ-like, aren't they, Kurt?
I got that earlier, like a couple of days before. Yeah, there was a, you know, I after talking with her, I fully expected, I almost envisioned one of those pink hats that we had seen back in
I'm Washington, personally D.C. more into the pink Christmas trees, Kurt.
I agree. But I was, this lady was quite concerned with my evil deeds. And
yes, sir.
But anyway, I wished her a Merry Christmas as she went on her way, and I figure that's about the best you can do.
Did you play Santa's a Black Man just to set her off or anything?
Well, I probably, that would have helped, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, James Dobson, Dr. James Dobson is speaking out quite a bit too, Kurt. James Dobson speaks out regarding the Christianity Today article. You know, he basically starts out and says, who do you want as president? You know, Christianity Today says we need to get rid of Donald, kick him out of office and stuff like that. And Dr. James Dobson says, I'm speaking on behalf of myself right now. So he's just trying to say what he wants to say as an individual, Kurt. But he basically asks some serious questions, huh?
Well, yes, he does, Sam. He says, who do you want as president? He said, maybe the magazine would prefer a president who's passionately pro-abortion. You know, it says in an editorial this last week, something called Christianity Today. I'm not familiar with the magazine, but I am a lot more now than I was before. Anyway, they had said in an editorial that President Trump should be removed from office. And this thing, according to Dr. Dobson, it stirred some strong feelings and pointed questions like, who would those editors want in the office? Someone who's passionately pro-abortion? One of the first reactions came from Franklin Graham, chief of the worldwide Christian ministry, Samaritan's Purse. After all, his father founded the magazine, and the magazine cited Billy Graham in its attack on President Trump. He revealed that his father, probably the world's most famous Christian evangelist, voted for Trump in the last election. But one of the most pointed comments came from James Dobson, the founder of the James Dobson Family Institute and Family Talk, noted he was speaking as an individual, so the whole tax world that they've got to do this for. He charged, quote, I have read a new editorial published by Christianity Today that promotes impeachment of President Donald Trump. The editors didn't tell us who should take his place in the aftermath, he continued. Maybe the magazine would prefer a president who's passionately pro-abortion, anti-family, hostile to the military, dispassionate toward Israel, supports a socialist form of government, promotes confiscatory taxation, opposes school choice, favors men and women's sports and boys and girls' locker rooms, promotes the entire LGBTQ agenda, opposes parental rights, and distrusts evangelicals and anyone who is not politically correct. That's a pretty good list, Sam. Hmm?
Yeah, this idea that you get a president that's passionately pro-abortion, anti-family, hostile to the military, dispassionate towards Israel, supports a socialist form of government, promotes confiscatory taxation, opposes school choice. He's right on here, and I think that James Dobson really nails it. And sadly, you know what? In a way, we're voting for the lesser of two evils. You know, Christianity Today has a point, Kurt, which is I don't really think Trump's that moral of a man. And we should be voting for somebody a whole lot more moral. But you know what? The current Republican-Democrat matrix that we accept, and as long as we accept parties and partisan politics, you know, Christianity's point's right, Christianity Today, but they'll never get anywhere. We're left with the lesser of two evils. For example, we're going to have a man on the next hour who's ran for president of the United States, Kurt. And his vice presidential pick was Scott Bradley, who we had on yesterday. This man is named, well, I'll make you wait for his name. Should I, Kurt, or should I just tell you?
That's fine.
All right, his name is Jim Clymer of the Constitution Party. Mm-hmm. He'll be on next hour, but, you know, those guys are moral men. But see, we're not allowing, those guys can never win. Not because they couldn't win, but because we don't give them a chance to win, right? There's no funding, there's no money, there's no media support, there's no apparatus on the ground. It's kind of like when Rand Paul ran the first time versus his second run. The first time he didn't have any infrastructure on the ground, he didn't really stand a chance. Second time he really had an infrastructure on the ground. If it wasn't for the corruption of the Republican Party, he would have done quite well, Kurt.
Ron Paul.
Ron. Mm-hmm. Okay, the second time he had some infrastructure on the ground, he did well, but they literally broke people's fingers. They turned off the lights. They did vote fraud. They hostily accosted, you know, some of the delegates and things. Or he could have done well. But just imagine if Ron Paul would have had the media. But you got to have an apparatus on the ground. You've got to have money. You've got to have the media. You've got to have a lot of things. And so under the current matrix that we accept, and that's why I bring this up, because nobody else is bringing this part up. But, you know, maybe the magazine would want some leader like that. I don't know. But James Dobson's point is spot on, given the circumstances. But I think there's a better way that not even James Dobson brings up, Kurt. So I get his point.
I agree.
I get his point, but I also reject the matrix that makes his point valid, Kurt.
You know, one of the other things that made this story so kind of hit hard for me was the fact that I just barely dealt with that lady who I don't have to deal with these kind of people typically, simply because, like, you know, when you've got those Make America Great Again hats and then you've got signs that say, you know, drain the swamp, it pretty much is easily known by those kind of folks that it's probably not their kind of area. And they,
yeah, it's not their cup of tea. They usually kind of give a wide berth, like the priest when he saw the guy in the street. Good Samaritan, he kind of just crosses the street and goes his own way, like that, you know.
But this lady came to call me to repentance.
Yes, she did. And that's good. You need repentance.
And I thought, you know, about that and how forgiveness and repentance is, you know, something that we can all do. And that's what I've seen in the president's situation, that I believe he's, you know, learning and he's improving and that kind of thing. And he's certainly not perfect, but I do think that when you certainly compare him to what we've been given over these many years by the swamp, it's nice to
amen
have him.
And that's Dr. Dobson's point, and it's a good point. Kurt, are you going to vote for Donald in 2020?
You know, I didn't before, and the situation that we have here in Utah is simply that, hey, man, if you're a Republican, you pretty much win no matter what. And so when I knew that, and I voted and supported the Constitution Party or the Independent American Party candidate. And I do that simply because, you know, I want to put my vote really where I'd choose to have that individual, like a Scott Bradley, Jim Clymer, you know, as a presidential candidate. That's what I'd like to have. And even if I'm told many times that, oh, you know, your vote is wasted or whatever. Now, it might be a little different for me if I thought that it was a toss-up in Utah and that somehow by my vote that we would have gotten Hillary instead of President Trump, then I might have been persuaded to
understand that's the game they continue to play, and as long as we have parties in place and partisan politics at the helm, that will always be the struggle. You know, you got to vote for the better of the bad guys, or else the real bad guy will get there. It's always the game they play with us every time. I will not vote for Donald Trump. I like the good that he does, and I commend him for the good that he does, but I also want to vote for a good, honest, moral person, somebody like a Dr. Scott Bradley, somebody like a Mr. Jim Clymer, a well-known constitutional attorney. All right, Donald Trump, quote Pelosi.
By the way, real quickly, so some would say, well, then, Kurt, why do you have the Make America Great Again caps, and why do you have Trump drain the swamp signs? Well, because those messages are very valuable to me. I think there's a whole lot of Making America Great Again that we could all participate in, you know?
Amen to that. And with or without Trump, we're going to do that. And I commend Trump for all the good that he's doing to make America great again. I certainly do. And anybody who's making America great again, if it's true principle, then I want to support that.
Yeah.
You know, and even if it is Donald Trump, you know. All right. Anyway, Donald Trump says Pelosi now caught in quid pro quo of her own. Kurt?
Well, yeah, because isn't a quid pro quo, Sam, where you say, hey, I'll do this if you do that?
And, yes, sir.
Basically, that's what she's telling the Senate. You know, I'll hand these articles of impeachment over if you promise to do certain things in the Senate for me. So nobody, like President Trump says, nobody's talking about impeaching her. He's got a good point.
Yeah, there you have it. He's got a great point, but see, nobody's listening, Kurt. The mainstream press doesn't care. They're not really interested in the truth. They're just interested in the... They're going to impeach the Donald again, they hope. I think they'd impeach him every day between now and the next election. What do you think, Kurt? I mean, if some of a good thing's good, more of a good thing's better, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. We declare this nation shall endure.